Hello and welcome to Parental Guidance Suggested. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And you have been to a movie or 10, am I correct?
Like, we had kind of this dry spell, like right after Thanksgiving and like pre that, I guess, whenever people start getting out for Christmas break or whatever. Like, there was a while that I'm just like, there's not any wide releases. This is problematic. And now we're about to clog the pipeline. Like, I'm having trouble scheduling. I mean, when I say trouble, it's not like, you know, I'm being held at gunpoint kind of trouble. This is, I have to figure out when I'm going to see this movie trouble. So it's not a real problem per se.
I want to hear what you thought of The Mule, only because recently on the air, I did a mule impression of an, you know, a four-legged mule. I was pretty impressed. I'm not going to do it now because maybe I could only do it that one time. But it was Clint Eastwood making that noise in my head. And so I want to hear about The Mule.
Well, The Mule is the one I'm going to see later.
Oh.
Haven't seen The Mule yet.
What have you seen?
I've seen Once Upon a Deadpool. I have seen
Widows.
Elf 15th Anniversary.
That's what we're talking about. I really should pay attention more.
It's
Widows.
Yes.
Widows. Not Widders.
Nope.
Widows. Who is in that?
Liam Neeson is in it.
I have heard of him.
Yeah. A grand plethora of talented actors that literally show up for moments.
What a nice payday.
The gentleman who starred as Punisher is also one of the husbands that causes the said widows. He's in the movie, I promise you, less than 3 minutes. I could have played his role and no one would have been the wiser.
So the story is someone makes all of these married women widows?
Well, the men, all of them are people of questionable reputation. For a living, they rob banks, they rob personal safes. Stuff like that.
Are they all friends?
I don't know. They're colleagues, okay. We'll say. I don't think friends is probably a good summary of it. But anyways, they've been doing this for 30 years. Basically, they know how to do this. When Liam Neeson makes these plans, they go off without a hitch. Until.
Yes, the Punisher.
This one. Well, no, I mean, he's just one of the guys that works with him.
Oh.
He punishes no one in this movie. It's barely a cameo. The only reason it's significant is because of his work in Walking Dead and Punisher. I don't even understand why you needed to cast that particular actor, because I was like, well, why you could have saved, I don't know, $200,000, however much you paid him on this.
Easily. He's like, I would have done it for 50.
And I mean bucks, not 50,000.
So, I'm guessing stuff happens and these guys start dying.
Well, it's, they all die at once.
Oh!
The police are chasing them, at their most recent job. They are trying to get away from them. They get to the car that they are switching up so that the one that is bullet riddled and has a door falling off, that draws attention to itself. As they open the door to pull out, the SWAT team and the police have already covered this right here, having, I guess, realized this is what they were doing, and they light them up. Ends up blowing up the van. These guys are just singed.
So they were not like stormtrooper shooting at them. They were
They were like Mark Wahlberg in Shooter shooting them. Sharp, just boom, And I mean, the van flips when it blows up. It is just ensconced in fire.
Would you say it blowed up real good?
Michael Bay would have sat forward in his seat if he was watching this movie. He would have been like, I'm proud of that. I didn't have anything to do with
it. Did Liam Neeson get blowed up real good?
They don't give a close-up of all the bodies, but he was in the van when it went up. So
it strikes me that he gets more than 3 minutes of screen time.
He enjoys Gangs of New York, Star Wars Episode One. Taken, I think they got him to do that movie saying that they were going to kill him. But somehow edited around that. And he's just like, I'm shooting a lot of stuff. I thought this was just a cameo. And they're like, no, you die. You die in the end. They shoot that scene for him, but they just keep recording. And he's like, guys, it feels like it's a whole movie. And then they just, they don't put the death
in. I feel when his agent pitches him stuff, he's like, it's only 2 weeks of work. Gonna make a few million. It's like, well, I'm not doing 3 weeks. 2 weeks max. All right. And then he just appears here and he appears there. We got a voice. It'll take you a whole day. Get her done.
I think he did a lot of that, like, really classy kind of, you know, quote unquote important work in the earlier part of his career. And at a certain point, I think once he had earned like his the Oscar nomination for like Schindler's List, like once he had really kind of legitimately become like I think he had done Rob Roy around that time, people considered him just an actor. And
yes.
Somewhere around like Taken, people were just like, we'll pay you a lot of money if you'll do this movie. Kind of what Brando did in kind of the twilight of his career, when they were just like, show up. And he's like, well, how much for me to show up? And they're like, $2 million. And he's like, I'm there. I don't even care what this is about.
That's how I got Beyonce to play my birthday party. It's like, just show up.
You told her that she could play Jor-El and Superman.
Yeah.
And that,
so just show up, man.
That would be an interesting
minutes.
Casting decision.
Just show up. So, who are the widows?
I don't recognize all of the actresses.
Do you recognize any of them?
And that, I cannot think of her name right now. She was in Suicide Squad as the woman that assembles.
Yes.
And her name is just, it is leaving me right now.
Yes, her.
She's in,
what is it? How to murder something. Not She Wrote.
How to murder something?
Not Murder, She Wrote, but anyway, I know who you're talking about.
She is the main actress in this.
Okay.
I would Google it, but my phone has died on me.
We're not going to. Okay, so I'm feeling that your thoughts on this movie are, well, it's okay, and stuff blew up, but...
The catch about the film, it's Steve McQueen, not that Steve McQueen.
Oh.
The one who did 12 Years a Slave, directed it. The woman, not Gillian Anderson, that's...
That would be scary.
The one that wrote Gone Girl and Sharp Objects. She actually did the screenplay with Steve McQueen on this. So, like, it's actually got quite a pedigree to it. I think the catch about this movie and why it didn't make a larger splash, like, if you would have released this back in, like, 1988 or whatever and had this kind of... Robert Duvall, like, shows up in... Just, I didn't even realize he was in it. I kept doing the, I didn't know they were in this. I didn't know they were in this.
I know why this movie was made. So more people could win the 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon. It's like, they just got to be in the movie for a hot second.
They're like, listen, it's getting harder and harder to connect it. Kevin's getting older, but you've worked with him.
I just need you to
show up. Just need Colin Farrell is in the movie.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not because of a lack of star power. I think the problem is, like, theaters are basically ran now by sequels and like intellectual properties. It is not a sequel to a Disney movie. Iron Man does not show up in it.
But imagine if he did.
I mean, things do blow up, but I don't know if they blow up extra real good. And that's...
Oh, okay.
You can't just blow stuff up anymore.
So when it's streaming and you don't have to pay more than a dollar, maybe watch it?
I would actually say, like, watch it. Maybe not. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't require 7.1 surround sound. Like, it's not completing a story that you've been waiting to hear the end for, you know, 6 years. It's a well-told story. It's a good narrative. It has a very impressive cast. It's well-written. It's well-directed.
Now, is this the sequel to The Widowmaker?
No. No. Okay. Though, I mean, you know, if it's all about sequels now and spinoffs. So
that could be interesting.
There could be a Widowmaker universe.
And then Widows. All right. So, Widows, I guess rated R. I guess.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Violence, cursing.
Acting.
Yeah.
Acting. Okay, so, and you still haven't seen The Mule. Let's talk about Once Upon a Deadpool.
I feel bad about what I'm going to say.
Did you not take the 13-year-old?
No, because I don't trust PG-13. You can have you've got your PG-13 movies like Batman Returns that really kind of, I think, borderline on that R rating. Like, I guarantee you, when my parents took me to see that in 92, whenever it came out, they were probably sorry they did. Now, I wasn't, because that movie fascinated me. But there's a whole lot of stuff in there that pushes the limits of something that was being also tied into a McDonald's Happy Meal, an animated series that was launching on Fox at the time, so was selling toys. I've seen both of the previous Deadpools in this. I knew what Deadpool was about, and usually the subject matter that was contained in those films. Even though this was a PG-13 film, until I had witnessed it myself, I wanted to see how, is it PG, like almost PG, or is it PG-13, almost R?
And?
It is still rather raunchy. And the parents that would not let their kids watch an R-rated movie are probably still not, like, probably
so
still
in other
not
words,
comfortable.
It's a total go for my kids.
Yeah, I think you'll be fine with it.
I thought they would be fine with it in the R version because I think, what was it?
This film almost needlessly exists. The people that were not satiated by, like, its original content, the people that didn't want their kids or whomever to see that, this isn't going to make any difference. It's still, the innuendos are still there. There are jokes that push those limits that a parent that would want something more along the lines of, say, an Iron Man 2 or a Thor Ragnarok, it's still not in that territory. It's not that kind of PG-13.
Now, as if I read correctly, Fred Savage, and oh, that's so brilliant, those little vignettes are interspersed throughout the movie?
The film is bookended and has a series of intercalaries, basically, where it's you'll see this within the first 3 minutes of the movie starting. Deadpool has kidnapped Fred Savage, recreated the bedroom from
Princess Bride,
and has taped him to the bed and insisted to him that nobody does child-like wonder like Fred Savage. And he's like, I'm a grown man now.
By the way, if you have not seen Princess Bride...
What's wrong with you?
At least 80 times. Okay, just once. Seriously. Anyway... Continue.
It's the best part of the movie is when they stop. More or less what I wish they would have done is kind of a Mystery Science Theater-esque way where you let the two... They're aware that they're being told a story. Deadpool is telling the story of Deadpool 2 to Fred Savage, who was in Princess Bride, who he is aware was in Princess... It's very fourth wall breaking. And the best jokes... Because they're not ones that they have now had to kind of hobble because they can't do the extreme R-rated. Sometimes you've got, like, alternate takes where Ryan Reynolds probably made a less crass joke that you can put in a PG-13 movie, but they felt that the R-rated take was better in the release that they did this summer.
Well, I wish they had PG-ified the first one. Because
I really don't know if you could.
I know.
That one was all kinds of R. Like, Deadpool 2 wasn't as R, if that makes sense.
I was halfway through it, and I thought, why couldn't the girls see this? But they could have. I would just have to go to the movie again, and I did not. But, so easy enough, 13 and up, probably you're good with that.
Yeah, I think it's appropriate for that crowd. If you have already let them see Deadpool 2, there is no purpose unless you want to see those Fred Savage Deadpool scenes, which I will tell you, they are hysterical.
Yeah.
Like, at the very beginning of it, like, Fred Savage, like, you're allowed a certain amount of curses in a PG-13 movie. Fred Savage up front does one of those, and he stops and he goes, hey, we only have three more of those until we go back to the R. And he goes, which is why I brought this along. And every time Fred Savage tries to curse, Deadpool beeps him. Literally, he has a beep, beep.
That's so funny.
Like, one of the best jokes, and I don't want to ruin the entire thing, but basically he starts beeping him at places where he's not cursing to make it sound like he... Like, okay, at one point, he lets him know that he has Matt Damon chained up in the basement, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Fred Savage says he would like to fight Matt Damon. Let me reiterate, fight. Mm-hmm. F-I-G-H-T.
Mm-hmm.
Deadpool starts bleeping him every time he says, I want to fight Matt Damon. So what you hear is, I want to bleep Matt Damon. I want to bleep him first in private, and then I want to bleep in front of other people. Like, so basically, he makes the entire fight between Matt Damon sound like it's something else. Like,
that's funny stuff.
Deadpool has a lot of fun with the PG-13. It is, honestly, it's good enough. What they need to do, get rid of this PG-13 cut of the movie, and eventually, whenever they do X-Force or Deadpool 3 or whatever, re-release this and edit the Fred Savage Deadpool bookends into the unrated version or R-rated or whatever version you want to put in there. They're funny enough that, honestly, if you want to see that complete version of the film, I think they're funny enough that they should be in it and not just relegated to this weird PG-13 creation. And I can't honestly think of an instance of this happening either.
Yeah.
Like before, like that they've re-edited and R-rated. Like, you've got television edits of stuff.
Yeah.
Like, or whenever they showed, you know, Sopranos on AMC.
This is what I think happened. I think somebody, well, that.
Yeah.
I think somebody said, wouldn't it be funny to have Deadpool redo this movie cover and redo that? Well, we got to have a reason. Huh. Let's just take a few cusses out of the thing, and we'll say it's a PG-13, and then we're just going to go teaser after teaser after teaser of hilarity.
I mean, honestly, some of the best stuff surrounding the Deadpool movie is the advertising around. And, like, again, I know that's a weird thing to say, too, but, like,
it's
Reynolds,
so funny.
When he was promoting this movie on Twitter, on talk shows, like, even in just the actual previews before it, like, just sold this movie so hard. Like, some of the stuff is as funny, if not funnier, than what appears in the actual movie. Like, Deadpool, the spirit of Deadpool is in the advertising as well as the film itself.
So Ryan Reynolds has become a national treasure, and nothing can happen to him.
I can't express how much to 20th Century Fox and now Disney that he not be recast. Like, if you need to let Deadpool exist in its own entity, like, if I don't care if he meets the Avengers, don't take away, like, Deadpool's ability. He needs to be able to say whatever he wants.
Yes.
We had a pared down Deadpool in X-Men Origins Wolverine, and it almost worked.
Was Ryan Reynolds in that?
Ryan Reynolds played Deadpool in basically 20th Century Fox.
I don't even remember.
Kind of held him at gunpoint and said, if there's any hope of there ever being a Deadpool solo movie, you will do this movie. Because he was pointing out the errors when they were doing that, just going, like, at the end of the movie, you have his mouth sewed shut. Like, he's the Merc with a mouth. Why did you sew his mouth shut? Like, he never shows up in the red. He doesn't talk to the audience. Like, have you guys ever read a Deadpool? Basically, they told him to shut up and do the movie if you ever want your Deadpool movie to exist.
Okay,
and
he
desperately wanted that movie to exist, so he did it. And then, let's see, that movie was 2009, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Nearly 8 years later, they finally, and I mean, they gave that thing a shoestring budget. 20th Century Fox did not want that thing to exist. Like, I think it did $54 million, like, was its budget. Then it makes, like, $700 million worldwide. Outgrossed the X-Men movie that had a budget of at least $100 to $150 million more of a budget, released that same year. Outgrossed the film it was technically a spinoff of. Like, the X-Men movies don't make Deadpool money, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Even though technically it's an X-Men movie. And, like, they're remarkably cheaper to produce than the X-Men movies.
I'm all for it.
I think Fox is almost mad that it was the success it was, just being like, but you
but
mean we could have
supposed to.
We could have literally spent $100 million less, got more, and just let you do the stupid movie you've been begging us to do for like 10 years.
Exactly.
And he's like, yes, that. What you said.
Anyway, so I hear you're going to see The Mule.
probably shortly after we do this podcast, I will probably see the mule.
And then we have dun dun dun, Mary Poppins and Aquaman. Mary Poppins and Aquaman.
And
that's a movie.
And Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. Into the Spider-Verse.
I'm just saying,
I can't wait.
I
can't wait.
It is a smorgasbord of a film. Mary Poppins is getting magnificent reviews.
That's great.
Aquaman
yeah.
is getting really good reviews. So is Into the Spider-Verse.
I am there for
Merry,
all three.
Merry Christmas to me.
And January, crickets.
January and February are traditionally not
nobody's
heavy.
Happy in January and February unless you're in Australia and it's summer.
Maybe Valentine's Day.
No, that just ticks everybody off.
Fair enough. All right.
But yeah, nobody's happy. And then there's my birthday at the end of February, and then people start to get a little happier, and then all of a sudden it's spring and we're back to living the good life.
But there'll be those 3 months. But there's 12 months out of the year.
That's my theory.
They're not all going to be gems.
No. Ever since we said that last week. No. Okay, so lots to see. Widows.
It is a good, solid, well-made film. I don't think anything about it dictates that you go see it in the theater, but it is worth watching.
And Once Upon a Deadpool.
Honestly, I'm going to say if you're listening to this podcast, you've probably already seen Deadpool 2. This film does not need to exist. But if you're a completionist and you can get in for cheap, the Fred Savage Deadpool stuff is pretty funny. But you have literally, I don't mean this in the sense you've seen a movie like this. You have literally seen this movie.
Okay.
Like, it's not one of those, I feel like they're ripping up. No, they're not even ripping up. Literally, you probably have this movie at your house. I'm just saying. Of course, I'm the guy that goes to the 15th anniversary, 20th anniversary.
I
saw Ghostbusters in theaters when they re-released. So, I mean, I can't talk.
I know. You collect spores, moles, and fungus.
I would.
Anyway, who wouldn't? Okay, so that's it for this version of Parental Guidance Suggested. Less than half an hour. You're welcome. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm